Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to Ryer on YouTube, where it is a Wednesday afternoon from Duval. We are live here on the channel. It is time for No Sleep Teal, the show dedicated to discussion involving the National Football League's Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm Travis Ryer. He is Evan Ryer. And together, we're going to talk about the undefeated and potential AFC top seed for the 2025-2026 playoffs, those Jacksonville Jaguars, after a commanding win over the Carolina Panthers in week one, Ev.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was the exact, you know, performance we kind of asked for. You know, there were, you know, plenty of mistakes, you know, plenty of things that we can point out. But at the end of the day, the Jaguars had the better team and they played like it. You also saw, I would say, Liam Cohen's influence from the outset. You know, the way that the offensive line played, the way that the play calling worked, you know, centering around running the football, you know, letting Trevor just, you know, take what he can get, especially in that first half. Yeah, I mean, it was really encouraging.
How about Liam going for that fourth and short from inside his own 40 early? You talk about setting a tone, right? And we'll talk more about the running back situation for sure now that we know Tank Bigsby has been moved to Philadelphia. Yeah. He's now an Eagle up there in Philly, and Jags getting a couple of late-round draft picks in return. But, yeah, let's start right there. You said it, I think, in so many words. When I think about that win Sunday, blueprint is what comes to mind. In terms of how – Liam Cohen would like to see this thing go pretty much on a weekly basis. I've been screaming for about a year now to Ryan Tannehill, Trevor Lawrence. Well, you look at Trevor Lawrence's line from that game on Sunday, and it was pretty Tannehill-ish. But end of the day, you controlled the lines of scrimmage. Run game came up huge. Travis Etienne with the explosive run to really kind of get that offense going. And look, it's not a game that's going to send a guy like Brian Thomas Jr. to a Pro Bowl, but you still got what you needed from the wide receiver position with those guys, and something to build on, I think, in terms of the offense. It isn't, I think it was a foundational type of performance, but certainly one this offense still would like to grow from.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like there were a couple miscues here and there. You know, Trevor's pick, you know, that's a tremendous play, tremendous grab. He definitely makes the wrong decision throwing that ball, I will say. But, I mean, at the end of the day, half the time, maybe even two-thirds of the time, that doesn't get picked off. But overall, I mean, offensive line was so, so nice to see. I mean, you know, obviously the Panthers' DL is not exactly world-beating. But Trevor was the least pressured quarterback in any QB in the NFL this past week, according to Next Gen Stats. So, I mean, that's something you really, really want to see. And at the end of the day, when you've got that and then also you're running, like, for as many yards as they did, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what's up. I also, you know, I get why BTJ might, you know, be a little curious about exactly how much his role is going to grow in this offense, but you know, those like in around runs and that kind of stuff, I love seeing that too. They're not always going to work. They're sometimes, you know, they're going to look stupid sometimes. But overall, when you've got a variety of different ways that you can get guys the ball and you can attack defenses, it's really encouraging.
Yeah, you talk about keeping Trevor Lawrence. Well, when you run for 200 yards, there's a good chance you're going to keep your quarterback clean. That certainly helps you in terms of protecting the quarterback. And we've seen sort of those easy touches to the wide receivers since really the preseason opener. Yeah. I mean, early in the preseason opener on a fourth and short, Liam dialed up a jet sweep to Diami Brown to convert in a tough field position situation. So it's been coming with this offense, and absolutely, you know, I agree. I think the offensive line, they've got to love this style of play. I don't know offensive linemen that don't love what the Jaguars were able to do. I thought Ezra Cleveland was really good on Sunday at that left guard position. You saw a couple of those big runs kind of start over there. And you get through an opener where, look, we talked about this in the preview for the Jags and the Panthers. Jags didn't exactly have a Brian Burns anymore in terms of rushing the passer. So we're gonna kind of stem things a little bit in terms of the excitement. By the way, our guy Naughty checking in here in the comments, Evan.
Hey.
You guys beat the worst team in the league. Get hype. Love it, Naughty.
Yeah. Hey, 1-0, baby. That's all that matters. You beat the team in front of you. You don't worry about anything else. Now, if they can if we can block the Bengals DL, then, you know, really we can start to feel a little bit better. If, you know, Trey Hendrickson has a quiet game, then, you know, that'll feel good. Also, we've been hyping it up all offseason. We've said it over and over. But, man, Brenton Strange in this offense looks so good. Like, it looks like a match made in heaven. I've been, you know, harping to all my friends that watch NFL, like, dog, if you need a backup tight end in fantasy, you know, he's probably not even, you know, he's probably still available in the free agent section. Go ahead and get that dude.
He's not now. Yeah. Or he won't be, but
not for
the
long,
end of this
but,
week. No,
no, it's, it's awesome seeing him, you know, just do his thing. He also, you know, nailed a hell of a chip block. That crackback was super nice.
Yeah. Split zone run.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too, is that the Jag, that's probably one of the few areas that the Jags actually could still improve when it comes to blocking, because you think about that, honestly, I forget the guy's name, but, whoever got laid out actually still made a tremendous play, just grabbing a shoestring.
Right.
But also that, Diami Brown end around run early in the game. If that shoestring tackle's not made, he might go.
Yeah.
Like it was about to be one-on-one with the safety right there. And that, that's also encouraging, you know. I mean, that's the thing is, like, again, it wasn't a perfect performance by any means, but I mean, just handling business against a bad team.
Yeah.
The Jags didn't do that last year. They didn't ever do that last year.
You don't have to get out over your skis. You don't have to show your butt, for lack of a better way of putting it, in terms of hold my beer, watch this, play design, play calling.
Right.
You know, if you believe in your scheme and your approach, then you just stick with it until someone stops it. And the Panthers really weren't able to do that. I'll tell you what I like too. I like the red zone play calling under center, working off of play action. First touchdown, you pretty much got that from Trevor. Then you run the end around off of that to Brian Thomas Jr. for a touchdown. And you don't wait until third and goal from the 7 to dial it up. Right.
When
play action means nothing at that point.
Yeah. You
know, they know you're not giving it to the back.
I thought when you
do
it
on, when you do it on first or second down, then you're able to be very effective. And they were.
Well, it was creative, but also if you notice, like, a lot of stuff that they dialed up for Trevor down there was stuff that he can definitely do, but also pretty safe. You know, they didn't like in the rest of the game, they didn't ask him to do too much. That touchdown pass, that was just, you know, clean, hit the spot. Not a whole lot to worry about, just right towards the sideline. I mean, overall, like, just awesome offensively. And also, defense deserves its flowers, too.
I mean,
defense played a hell of a game compared to what we were seeing last year. You know,
it was cool seeing guys in position, right? And aligned where they should be. And correctly,
you know,
for that matter.
The DeJuan Smoot sack, that's super encouraging. You know, you want him to kind of find his previous level. That's a great start. I think Josh Allen had like 8 pressures. He just didn't quite get the Bryce.
Hard guy to sack in Bryce.
Yeah, he's not easy to bring down. And then
but pressured him into a couple of picks, you know,
yeah.
And you turned him over 3 times total, right?
Yeah. I mean, no, you love that. And then not to mention too, that, those two picks coming from the new guys, the veterans, Eric Murray and Jordan Lewis. That's awesome. That's really cool too. I thought Eric Murray looked really comfortable in that scheme. Overall, not a whole lot of mistakes from the secondary.
He had one missed tackle out on the perimeter on an explosive play for the Panthers, but otherwise, your point is 1,000% on.
Dewey should have had a pick six.
Pick six, yeah.
Should have been one for him. No, I mean, overall, that looked really good. Now, obviously, I think the ceiling on that group is still pretty apparent. I don't think they're, you know, necessarily going to hit elite level, but kind of like with, you know, certain spots around a roster, secondary is very, you know, if you get the confidence going, you get them feeling good, generally you can elevate that level of play. It's kind of like offensive line. You know, there's a lot of times where a team will have an offensive line show up out of nowhere, and it's just because they found something, a groove. And hopefully that's what the Jags secondary is doing too.
Yeah, and with guys like Lewis and Murray, you've got self-policing going on in that secondary, which I don't think you really had last year with that group. Ryan Nielsen was terrible. Okay, we can all agree on that. But from a player ownership perspective a year ago, there wasn't anything resembling what I believe they have this year with Jordan Lewis and also Eric Murray. What about Travis Hunter's debut, Ev? We talked about it last week in the preview, how we thought it might play out. I thought it was kind of along the lines of what I anticipated. We saw him a little bit on defense, but primarily going in, the expectation was he was going to be one of those top two wide receivers, and that pretty much how it played out.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid start. You know, I mean, obviously he didn't explode the box score or anything like that, but I don't know if Travis Hunter is really going to be that guy, at least with the current dynamic of that team anyways. You know, I mean, you know, he's always shown that he's got the speed to, you know, if he gets that, if he catches the ball downfield, he might just go, but I don't think that's what they want from him. And that's definitely not how they used him on Sunday. I mean, you know, a lot of just let him run the route. He made some of those corners look really, really silly with some of his route running. That was encouraging. And I mean, I thought it was just a solid start, you know, the exact kind of thing you're looking for. I think this kind of box score is probably what, you know, these receivers need to get used to. You know, somebody might get 60, 70 yards, something like that on a good day, but I don't think you're going to see BTJ going for 100 yards a whole lot. I don't think you're going to see Travis Hunter going for 100 yards a whole lot. I think more, you know, targets going to be spread around. You're looking at, you know, four or five catches for everybody, 50 yards, which is, you know, that's much more difficult to guard than one guy that you just have to double team every play.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of why we've seen the movement we've seen in that running back room in the last 24 hours is because – you've got guys, young guys, Bashal Tootin, LaQuint Allen, that can catch it too, to go along with these tight ends. Not just Brenton Strange, but, you know, Hunter Long, he had one catch in the game. It goes for a red zone touchdown. That's what you want out of that group. I think for guys like Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter, to your point, ideally, you're not going to have to get it to them 8 to 12 times throwing it, because you're going to have that mix and that distribution that you sort of pointed to, not just with the run game, but when you throw it to these backs, the screens and the other things that they're able to do. I think for your top guys outside, I'm going to be more interested in yards per touch.
Yeah.
When you do go to those guys, are they able to do it in chunks? And also third down, you know, are they able to take care of business on third and six, third and eight?
No, for sure. I think it's also going to be interesting to see exactly how much more LaQuint Allen's role grows in this offense because they clearly trust him and love him, dude.
Early,
on
Sunday,
like they were happy to get him in there, especially on third down. He's clearly the best pass blocking RB they've got, but I mean, they weren't afraid to necessarily, you know, give him an option as well. I mean, they threw it to him once, ran him a couple times. I mean, you know, this is, I think, you know, also they knew that they were trading Bigsby probably on like Thursday or Friday because, I mean, you know, they gave him zero work, you know, it was very minimal.
Keeping him healthy.
But
it goes to your point about how they do feel legitimately about Tootin.
Yeah.
and Allen. And look, I think Tank has a chance to, I think that was a win-win. I think it's a win for Tank going to a hell of a team, hell of an organization, and in an offense where I think his skill set and his attributes can really be put to great use behind Saquon, and also what he can do in the return game. So again, win-win from my perspective.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of hate to see him go because we've seen what Tank can do, you know, when he's, you know, given proper blocking and a good setup. But I think in this, how this offense is kind of stylized, it just, he's not quite the fit, which is weird. You know, but at the same time, it's a good return, for something like that. Gladstone, man, he loves those late picks.
Yeah. And one of these picks is Robert watching the show points out here in the show chat, can become a fourth round pick depending on how, I guess, the season and performance and things like that play out.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, obviously, you know, they're only worth so much, you know, each pick at a time, but you stack up enough of those, you start having, you know, the kind of accessories that you-
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You need to, you know, trade up in the draft or do whatever you need to do to get back into
When I see James Gladstone collecting picks, that's... Yeah. What my mind goes to.
Yeah, because they're not going to draft.
They're not going to pick these guys. They're going to
draft eight guys in the last few rounds, right?
Because F them picks, right? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the approach.
Yeah, I think the only major criticism, too, is obviously penalties still pretty rough. Mm-hmm. You had 11 of them, a lot on the offensive line.
Opening drive was very impressive considering two holds and a grounding. And
that's
you still
what
got
I said,
three points.
Too. That's what I said, too. When it was happening, I was like, gosh, darn it. They're shooting themselves in the foot. And, you know, they got away with the first one. And then it happened again. I was like, okay, that's a drive killer. But no, I mean, they really were able to just, consistently move the ball down the field. Like I said, Trevor taking what he can get. And then also when you're just able to pick up 5-6 yards on the run every single time, if not more, I mean, that goes a long way to dealing with, like, you know, the 2nd and 20 or the 1st and 20 or something like that. It'll be interesting to see, though, when inevitably the Jags are facing long yardage situations or trailing late in the game. Yeah. I want to see how Cohen approaches that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, I don't think they're necessarily trying to hide Trevor Lawrence, but as long as they can control games with the sort of approach that Cohen likes to employ, you're going to go with it. And speaking of the show chat, Robert Adsert. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. It's the scheme difference is what was impressive for Robert. Yeah, hard to argue with that on both sides of the ball. And, you know, don't forget about Cam Little while we're at it. Because that dude does is drill it down the middle. And there were some teams in week one around the National Football League that didn't have the luxury that the Jags continue to have in the former Arkansas
Jake
product.
Moody.
Yeah.
Yes. Jake Moody, man. Oh, geez.
Well, look at the Bears too.
Kyra Santos. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's with Moody especially. It's like they literally said, like, all right, dude, we're gonna run you out there until you miss one, and then opening kick just bah.
Yeah,
just,
and then gone.
Yeah.
Now Eddie Pinheiro.
No, the if you Panthers I don't know if you watched that game, but after he missed the first one, it panned to Shanahan, and Shanahan looked like he was throwing up in his mouth. it was brutal. Little is such a nice safety valve to always know that, you know, you've got at the very least you take, that's the thing is that a lot
kind of flies in the face maybe of Liam's aggressiveness sometimes. Yeah. So, you know, well, like
that's the thing. Sorry, go ahead. I don't want
to. No, I mean, it's going to be interesting when it's 4th and 2 from maybe the plus territory of the 35, and you know you got this guy that can get it there from 70, and he's accurate as hell. You're gonna go on 4th and 2 or 3, and
well, I think
not run this guy out there, especially if your defense is playing at a high level.
it can be a blessing and a curse, but I think for the most part, early in games, you don't feel like you have to be desperate, right?
Right.
Like, if you know that you feel good about how you're moving the ball down the field, you know, you can just say, okay, well, at the end of the day, it's kind of conservative, kind of old school NFL, but take the points you can get and, you know, we'll get there. Now, if you're playing a offensive fire, offensive team with a lot of firepower, then, you know, that kind of adjusts your approach. But against a team that's, you know, like the Panthers or any other, you know, kind of squad we might come up against soon that's, you know, kind of looking at trying to score 20 and win the game, I think you got to take the field goals there.
Yeah, I'm told Liam's a Red Bull enthusiast. And so he was probably five or six of those in by the time that fourth down rolled around on Sunday afternoon.
Like, let's go.
There's no doubt, you know.
Well, that's a beautiful thing about being able to run the football well successfully is because most of the time you're not going on for it on fourth and long. You're going, and if you know you can get a yard, if you know you can get 2 yards at least 90% of the time, then you're just going to go for it.
So what do you kind of take away? We haven't even talked about really Travis Etienne, who had a huge game. And this was the guy in the offseason that all of us wondered, how exactly is he going to fit? More so than Tank Bigsby in this offense that we anticipated seeing the likes of on Sunday. And boy, 1 week in, I'd say Travis fits pretty well. And also thinking about his big picture future, because it's a money year for Travis Etienne. And, you know, I know there's some people look at the Tank situation and think, well, that's great for Travis in terms of being able to maybe get a big deal. I don't think he's getting a big deal in Jacksonville because you already think you've got your two backs of the future that are mid to late round picks on very friendly contracts. Moving forward. So for Travis, it's still the motivation to go out there and do it every week. And who knows, maybe the Jags do work it out big picture wise. If it comes down to it, we'll see how it goes.
I'm excited to hear the, you know, the kind of blind hindsight that we'll get later when Travis has a Pro Bowl year and then everyone goes, well, if you had paid him before the season, then you wouldn't have to pay him $1 billion right now. It's like, no, he didn't.
Well,
he
see, Balky was right about the option.
Exactly. No, I mean, he wasn't worth you couldn't have paid him based on what we had seen the previous season, you know.
So
at the end of the day,
that'll be the lazy but loud take. You're right. That'll be out there.
If this is what ETN does in this offense, which, you know, when you think about Bucky Irving and Rashad White, you know, in their respective big years in Tampa, they are more similar to ETN than they are similar to like a Tank Bigsby or what have you.
Yeah.
I you know, in some ways it shouldn't be surprising, but we didn't feel like we could trust Travis.
No.
Based on that, I mean, that was such a performance.
Well, the PTSD from the opener last year was just it, you know, and that kind of spoke to the lack of a chin for that team.
Yeah,
you know, it's more than it even did Travis, because they just did not have any response. Right. They had a response, but it wasn't favorable. But at 1-0, Evan, and with Cincinnati up next, are Jaguar fans allowed to dream about this season? Is it too early for that from your standpoint? Three of the next four opponents, Evan, are 0-1. Chiefs, Seahawks, and the Bengals last week. I don't think the Bengals had 10 yards of offense in Cleveland last Sunday. They got the win.
But
I didn't see that coming from that Cincinnati offense.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like the Bengals game now feels a lot more doable. But I think you're allowed to feel good. Yeah. I would say let's see where we're at after KC.
Yeah.
If you're 3-2, 2-3, then everything's chill. If they've dropped four straight, then you know, reel it in, obviously. But I think you got to wait just a little bit. But I mean, like I said, going into the Bengals game now, I mean, you should feel like you can kind of get after that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's a road game in Cincinnati; those are not easy. But I mean, at the end of the day, I think partially the Jags just are a good matchup for a team like the Bengals. On what
here's the thing about the Bengals, I don't think you're going to line up and run it against the Bengals this week like you did against the Panthers. And you're going to have to run it somewhat successfully, because if you don't, then you're going to leave yourself open to a guy like Trey Hendrickson. Yeah. If you start having to drop back and not get it out hot. Great thing also, about week one, too, was Trevor didn't have to sit in there all that long on a lot of occasions. The ball came out pretty quick.
I also want to point out that the Bengals, you know, giving up what they gave up to Joe Flacco, Joe Flacco's, I think, longest completed pass, if I can pull it back up, longest completed pass was 25 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, and they were you know, able to move the ball down the field through that. So I'm thinking, yeah, this is a moment for Trevor to be finding Travis Hunter, to be finding Dwami Brown, you know, just like, but, you know, you don't even have to air it out super far. Just hit the spot. Now, I also think the Jaguars will have a lot more success running the ball against the Bengals than the Browns did, partially because the Browns running back setup is pretty it's rough. Not great. So
Quinshon Judkins
he's not available right now. Yeah. Dylan Sampson, Jerome Ford were your two options, and those were rough. I'm curious. I'm curious to see how that offensive line is able to do, especially the interior. I mean, obviously the Bengals have, you know, a really solid, defensive front, but at the same time, like, you know, let's test TJ Slayton. Let's test Osai. Like Trey Hendrickson, BJ Hill, those are really good players, but I want to see what the Jags can do against, I guess it would be the left side of the Bengals defense.
After what happened Sunday in Jacksonville and up in Cleveland, how many Jag bros were on that group message Sunday night? Hey, anybody want to make the trip up?
I saw multiple
Cincinnati
people.
Takeover. Let's do
I saw
it.
Multiple people say that they're considering awesome. Going to Cincinnati.
Absolutely. Beautiful.
Which, why not? You know, screw it. But at the same time, yeah, that's a rough, that would be a real, you know, hard come down from the high of week one to go up there and then just watch the Jags get waxed.
Joe Burrow. How about Joe Burrow against the Browns? 113 passing yards on 23 attempts. I mean, the damn Bengals didn't even snap the ball all that much on offense. Yeah. They were so bad.
Well, and that's what's interesting is that even though, you know, it was mostly on Joe Flacco, he threw the ball 45 dang times.
Couple of picks.
They still managed the game well. This is the kind of game that the Jags are going to win. Liam Cohen's going to have a big role in managing that game, making sure. And at the end of the day, if the Bengals are struggling offensively, guess what? Yeah, don't go for it on fourth down. Let Cam Little kick all those field goals. You might win with, you know, let's say like 23 points, 20 points. I mean, it might do. So
I just have a hard time envisioning Joey B and those receivers having a second straight performance like we saw up in Cleveland. And by the way, Cleveland kicking the football, we were talking about kicking woes from over the weekend. Andre Smith, the kicker for the Browns, missed an extra point, missed a field goal.
Yeah.
You lose 17-16.
Brutal. You know? Yeah. But I'll also say, too, that, you know, I mean, obviously the Browns have a talented defensive front themselves. Bengals couldn't run the ball to save their life in that game. So that means a lot, you know, like we said, if you run the ball, you protect your quarterback. If you can't run the ball, quarterback's probably going to have a pretty hard time. And Joe Burrow had a very, you know, like meager day. Jamar Chase with two catches. I mean, you know.
So you ready to pick the Jags or what? In Cincy. You picking them?
I want to so bad. I want to.
Trust issues.
What? I'm going to say 20-16 Bengals.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
say kind of where I'm at.
Cam Little's still gonna get his. He's always gonna get.
I think
his.
Evan McPherson for Cincinnati and Cam Little for the Jags will. It'll probably come down to those two guys, and they both can bomb it. By the way,
yeah, they're both really great kickers.
I could see something from 60 plus determining this game Sunday.
Yeah, I think it'll be close late. I think unlike week one, this will be the first real situation where we're watching Liam Cohen kind of handle a tight game late as a head coach. I'm going to say 20-16 with the idea that they bounce back against the Texans and drop those fools in week three in Jacksonville. But
you kind of stole my score there. I guess you're a Ryer, you know, I kind of showed up there. The DNA. I'm going to go 19-16 Bengals.
Oh, wow. Even more
field goals. Yeah. Field just goals, kick. That's kick.
Hey, go find that prop bet. Go find the
four for McPherson, what, three, I guess, for Cam? is what I'm thinking.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I don't know what the total is for field goals on Sunday, but I'm guessing I like the over.
I think the Bengals will be the team to get it. I honestly think whoever scores the first touchdown in this game is, which is, you know, that's kind of not that hot of a take. A lot of times whoever scores the first touchdown is generally, you know, going to go on to win the game. Right. But I genuinely think that if the Jaguars can go out there and score on that opening drive, like get in the end zone, then you're going to enter a much different situation than, you know, if you're unable to do that, then, you know, the Bengals kind of find juice early because even though they aren't especially good at running the football, we know Chase Brown is extremely talented.
Good back. I mean,
he's really good. So
what else kind of captured your attention from the first week of the 2025 NFL season? I guess maybe with an emphasis on the AFC South, because not every team in the AFC South is tied for the division lead.
Yes,
after one game. Certainly the Houston Texans wouldn't be one of those teams. And the Tennessee Titans, also not one of those teams.
The Dolphins are very bad. They are very bad. That being said, the Colts should feel the same exact way that Jaguars fans feel, right? Like, if not even better. Because, I mean, that was a curb stomp symphony. Daniel Jones looked really good.
It's kind of like Trevor. I think he's perfect for what the Colts want to do and can do with Jonathan Taylor back there. If he's healthy, you can get by with Daniel Jones. You can kind of Sam Darnold it with Daniel Jones. If you put too much on him, we've seen the results, right?
Yeah. No, the Colts look legit. They offensively, defensively, legit. Like, they are going to be a problem for the first time in a while. But, you know, also, we'll see. You know, I mean, you know, it's always tough after week one. The other takeaway I would have about the division is that the Titans are not, like, don't be fooled by the fact that they hung with a Broncos team that made a billion mistakes in that game. Like, I'm not, like, the Broncos got a lot of preseason hype, a lot of off-season hype, you know, is whatever. And don't get me wrong, I think overall they're definitely a playoff team. They're you know, going to be tough to beat by the end of the year. I am not, like, I watched that game play by play, and goodness gracious, that was one of the worst football games I've seen. Like,
and the Broncos, though, are comfortable with ugly, man, because they can play care. D.
Yeah. No.
Play 9-7 or 13-10, whatever.
A lot of people already saying that, you know, the Titans, the team around Cam Ward is letting him down. I think that's somewhat true. I also think Cam Ward's ability to hold off, all that dude wants to do is the Anthony Richardson approach. He just wants to throw it as hard as he freaking can. And I actually think he could have gotten in way more trouble than he actually did this past weekend. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, though, that team's not very good. And I mean,
I'll tell you, the Texans, man, there's pressure on the Texans to win this week, because the Texans could be an 0-2 team coming to Jacks.
Yeah.
If they don't take care of business against a Tampa Bay team that knows how to win.
Yeah.
At this point, regardless of the venue, I thought the Bucs were going to lose that game, maybe in Atlanta, the way it looked. And
they fought.
Yeah, kicker issues for Atlanta came up big in that game, too.
Yeah, dude. And especially Coe. I mean, he's good, too.
Yeah.
He has been
good.
Good. It's a knife's edge in the NFL when it comes to kickers sometimes.
Got that.
With the Texans, man, I mean, that's the Rams want that game. And unfortunately, the Texans, or I guess fortunately for the Jags, but unfortunately for Houston, that's not the kind of game that really they're going to have a lot of success with.
That's not what they're built for, right?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, if anything, I also am not jumping to conclusions with the Texans' loss.
Went out to L.A., lost to a good team.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really difficult, like, trip and game to win. That being said, the issues that the regression we saw from C.J. Stroud last year kind of seems like it hasn't changed, at least, you know, through 1 week. But
I'm interested with Bo Nix that way. I'm kind of interested to see if Bo Nix in year two might be more along the lines of C.J. Stroud in year two. Maybe not. Yeah, we'll see.
Well, that's kind of, you know, I feel like that's what happens with a lot of quarterbacks, right? Is, you know, you don't have the tape on you, your rookie year, you're able to make, you know, you got a little bit more going on, and then year two, everybody kind of knows what to look for.
You get
and
then found it's about out.
How do you rebound? But, you know, I also will say that the Texans ran the ball pretty well in that game. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to be okay long-term overall. I think, you know, this is it's a brutal first two games for them. It's kind of just like how the Jags kind of have a really rough start. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, they're going to be good.
See what happens.
But I think the Jags beat them in week three now.
Wow. Oh, he's calling it. How about Ev calling a week three?
Yeah.
Going ahead and calling a shot. Know,
until now, there's going to be 18 injuries.
You guys can go ahead and tune in, by the way. And we are at Party Girl in the Avondale area of Duval. Party Girl, boy. You know what the specials are today at Party Girl to go? Ev, you got the Ma meatloaf. You know where that comes from.
Chaz's favorite.
Great, great meatloaf on a bed of freshly made mashed potatoes are ready to go. We've got your favorite, the cream corn casserole.
Oh, man.
Already had some of that here at Party Girl at 4205 St. John's Avenue on a glorious Wednesday afternoon. And that case over there is loaded up, my man. I mean, you got the chicken salad, pimento cheese, a couple different dips. Pawpaw's vegetable beef soup is in there. D's skillet corn is in there ready to go. And that's before you get into sweets. Chocolate chip cookies that were just made moments ago. We've got sugar cookies in there. What is she doing in there, Ev? She's always doing something. It's Ma's meatloaf today.
No, I'm very jealous. Meatloaf and corn casserole sounds like heaven on earth right now. And
it's ready to go right now.
Go get it, y'all. If you're still watching, I don't know why. I would be getting in the car.
Sitting here getting all the smells. Free smells. All right, Ev, anything else before we get out of here on a Wednesday afternoon?
No, just feeling good, you know. This is, I would say, the best I've felt as a Jaguars fan in probably 2 or 3 years. It's not a case of, you know, I'm dreaming of a Lombardi trophy, but it's more just, hey, this looks like a competent football team. That's pretty cool.
It does. Look forward to it and look forward to Evan's reaction along with yours out there. We appreciate the live viewers for checking in and chiming in as well. The show will archive right there at Ryer on YouTube. We also podcast the show. So if you're on, let's say, Apple or you're on Spotify or any of the podcasting outlets, you're going to find the show in audio form right there as well. So Evan, we'll do it again next week, my man.
Sounds like a plan. Can't wait.
For Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Thanking you once again for joining us right here for No Sleep Teal on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Until next time, so long, everybody.